Baby Talk is one that, of course, is just a classic rock song anymore. I don't know. What do you consider rock?
Oh, sure. Yeah.
It would be considered.
So to speak.
What do you think of that record? What did you think of it? What do you think of it today?
At the time, I thought it was very contemporary for the times.
Mm-hmm.
Which I guess anything in those days was contemporary. And I listen to it now, and it sounds very primitive, but it's still got some nice, refreshing, very honest moments in it.
What did you think of the words of it when you saw it, Baby Talk? That still fascinates me, that song.
I don't know if we were quite so conscious of words with that particular song than we were with the overall feel and more of the sound of the recording at the time. I think a sound and feeling had more importance over the lyric content. It must have now that I listen to it.
Yeah.
But I don't remember having any sort of opinion about the lyrics at all.
Did you have a feeling it would be a good-sized hit?
Well, I did, only because I hadn't really known defeat at that time, and Jan had just come off two stiffs, and he kind of had one gigantic record under his belt, and that was the one I was involved in, and so I just thought it was... I just thought it was the most obvious thing for it to do was to be a hit record. We had a Jan and Dean skateboard at one time that was, I think it was produced by Makaha Skateboards. And they were built in Australia because it was cheaper and then shipped over here, which is very strange. And we sold pretty many of them. I don't know. I didn't really know that much about it at the time, and about the time that it started to get very heavy, the company bought us out or something, and I don't know whatever happened to skateboards. They were in and out very quick. As the material got more satirical and more silly, anything that you saw could have been material for a song. And one of those things was a little old lady that was on TV in a Dodge commercial. I think they were just local. I'm not sure if you had them. I don't know if it was West Coast or whether it was just California, but it may have just been local Dodge commercials. But they had this really great, sweet old lady that was obviously in her 80s, and she used to drive this big super stock Dodge with huge, huge tires and mags and stuff, and she'd blow everybody off in these commercials, and her closing line was always, "Put a Dodge in your garage, honey," and then she'd go wheeling, off into the sunset. So we thought, hey, that's perfect. It's perfect for a song. We should write a song about that little old lady. That was one of my all-time favorites, I think, and my kind of theory about that was that it was one of the first songs that we had done that was very obviously was satirical. The others were kind of subtle satirically, but this one was really pretty obvious that, well, at this point they got to be joking. And but on top of that, the production was really starting at that moment to get pretty slick, and we had it down pretty well. And I thought that it was just arranged well. I liked the melody. I liked the tracking parts. And I liked everything about it. Was kind of neat. Now that song evolved from the song that I had mentioned previously, which was the first song that Brian tried to give us, actually, which was a song called When Summer Comes Gonna Hustle You, that we cut before we cut Surf City, because songs we liked, When Summer Comes Gonna Hustle You, better than Surf City, believe it or not. But when we finished it and played it for publishers or management or whoever, people on radio, they said, "My God, you can't say Hustle You on the radio." We said, "What do you mean? What is it? There's nothing wrong with Hustle You." And he said, "Well, there is. You know, it's the connotation there is you know, very, very risque."
Yeah.
"But what do you mean? You know, we say that all the time. There's nothing right. Just to hustle girls to hustle her."
Yeah.
You know.
Times have changed just a bit.
Obviously, you don't know what it really means.
Yeah.
And so therefore, the publishers got uptight, and the people who were signed with got uptight, and they said, "You can't release the record. You know, you got a clean image, and why take a chance?" So they said, "Why don't you finish that other song, whatever it may be?" And we said, "Oh, yeah, that's Surf City. Okay, well, we'll finish that one instead." And we changed the lyrics because we still knew that Gonna Hustle You was potentially a great song, with or without the lyrics, so we changed it to New Girl in School.
I'll bet you had quite a social life in those days, huh?
Oh, fantastic. 8 hours a day in school and 4 hours a night in the recording studio, and time to go to bed, sleep for 3 or 4 hours, and then get to school again.
And back to it again.
It was wonderful.
You know, a lot of people think back, you know, think, "Oh, to have the life of guys like that, you know, surfing, fun in the sun, stars in the recording industry, drive expensive cars, more dates than they know what to do with, chicks all over the place, you know." But it wasn't quite like that, huh?
Not really. Sometimes, yes, but most of the time it was a lot of hard work. Now, if we had maybe played the game the way that it should have been played, we would have had more time. And in other words, if we had not been in school, we would have had that extra time to either socialize or being, you know, relaxing somewhat. But since we never did really trust the music business, we chose not to do that and always kind of put that off, that, you know, someday we'll be able to relax and do what we want to do as well as music.
Just out of curiosity, Dean, what kind of a car did you drive then? Was it a Vette?
Yeah.
Was it really?
Sure. Stingrays all the way.
You did Ride the Wild Surf and Sidewalk Surf, and they came out almost back-to-back, and they were two more big ones for you.
Well, Ride the Wild Surf was really a title from a movie, and that was kind of contrived around the movie. Drag City, I know Brian wrote part of it, Jan wrote part of it, and I wrote part of it, and a fellow named Roger Christian, who was a disc jockey on KRLA, which was one of the top stations in Los Angeles at that time. And that wasn't as blatant exploitation as Honolulu, so I was able to rationalize that one okay. At least it was a new subject. What it was a combination of things that would never be put together, which is, of course, older people may have a sewing circle, older ladies, or they may have a book review where they talk about current books that are out in the market. Mm-hmm. But to mix them with a timing association, which was like a drag racing association, and those were the people that sanctioned all drag races and did all the timing and such. To mix them with a car club and timing association was pretty absurd. So the more absurd, the better.
Mm-hmm.
But what I really liked was that song was stolen from two different musical areas that were 180 degrees apart, and they fit beautifully. And in that mm-hmm. most of it was a Bach chorale mixed with kind of the background tracking of I Get Around by the Beach Boys.
Hmm.
And when you really listen to it, you can pretty well tell which is which.